Time. Time is a important thing in our lives. Matter of fact, I would dare say that our entire lives are structured upon time. We have a specific time that we met this morning to come together and to worship. We have specific times for meetings in our business. Sometimes specific times to eat lunch or to eat supper. And the marking of time is there to keep organization to our lives and to society. It's such an important thing. And there are a lot of phrases that have been coined over the years in relation to time, such as the phrase, time is of the essence. And then there's the phrase, time flies. Have you ever been talking to somebody about an incident either in your life or in the life of a friend or a loved one, and you're thinking back on it, and you think, boy, that just seems like yesterday. And yet you're speaking of something that happened many, many years ago. I remember in 1999, I was living in Huntington, Tennessee, and the post office had put up this big countdown clock. And it was counting down to the new year. You know, when I think about that, it just really doesn't seem like that long ago. And yet it's been, what, 6 years ago now? It's kind of hard to believe for me. As we go to the Word of God, particularly in Psalm 90, in the verses that was given there for us, the writer of this psalm has something to say about time. Moses, that is. And there's at least one thing that you and I have in common, and that is that God has given each of us the same amount of time each day. I've even said before, I wish I had more than 24 hours in a day when I couldn't get everything done. But the fact is, we've got 24 hours. Each hour has 60 minutes. Each minute has 60 seconds. And maybe one of the most challenging things that we have to do in life is to use the time that has been allotted to us in a wise way. Matter of fact, to squander time is to violate a commandment that we are given in the Word of God. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So very quickly this morning, as we think about time, I want us to think about three things from these verses in Psalm 90 that Moses teaches us about time. In the first place, we learn about recognizing the time. In verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they're 80 years, yes, their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. According to the Bible, about the average lifespan is 70 years. Sometimes, even in America, and especially I would say in America, we're given a few more years. Nevertheless, no matter how long I live or you live, whether it be 15 years or 150 years, there will be a time when our time on this earth will end. Each and every one of us will come to the point to where our time is up. There's another phrase, his time is up. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Hebrew writer tells us that it is appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I think that we all need to be reminded of the fact that each of us is going to die. You know, back when I was a little younger, I used to think I was invincible. I mean, occasionally I would get sick. Sometimes I didn't feel well. But the thought never would occur to me, you know, I might die. But over the last few years, that thought has become a reality to me. I think for each of us, we come to a point to where we actually begin to think, you know, I could die. And we need to always be reminded of the fact that one day we will die. In the book of James, chapter 4, and verses 13 to 15, James speaks a little here about the time we have on this earth and how people would squander time and not place their trust in the Lord to provide for them even the time they had during the day. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Remember a few moments ago when I used the phrase, time flies? Or we say things like, it seems like that was only yesterday. Well, that's what James has in mind here. Our life is like a vapor. One moment it's there, and the next moment it's gone. You know, the Bible teaches us that baptism saves. It washes away our sins. It brings us into a right relationship with God, as it points toward and symbolizes, really, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, baptism saves. The Lord said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. And I know that there are some religions out there who negate the necessity of baptism for salvation. And then even when someone wants to be baptized, they'll set a baptism day. It might be a week later, 2 weeks, or even a month later. But as we read the story here of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, when he learned the truth, we see that in the same hour of the night, he was baptized. Why is that? I mean, it was late at night. There had been a big ruckus at the prison. Everything seemed so inconvenient, but yet they took the time to go out and to baptize him that night. You know why? Because time is of the essence, right? For you do not know what will happen tomorrow, James said. He may not have lived that long. Listen, when we learn the truth, now is the time to obey. Remember the story about the man who squandered his time in Luke chapter 12, 13 to 21? He was so confident that he was going to live many more years, at least another year. God had blessed him bountifully in his crops. In fact, he was so blessed, he said, what shall I do with all this? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll make bigger barns and I'll store them up and I'll say to myself, self or soul, take it easy. Relax. Jesus called him what? A fool. For this night, your life will be required of you. This night, your soul will be required of you. That man expected to live and enjoy his stuff, didn't he? You see, we don't know when our time is up. We don't know when we're going to lose our lives, which makes it so important and essential that we recognize that now is the time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now is the accepted time, Paul says there. This is the time to obey the gospel. Not after you finish high school, not after you finish college, not after you get married, not after you have some children, not after you retire. Right now, when you know and understand the gospel and realize the significance of sin, and the significance of your sin against God, this is the time to obey, not to delay. When it comes to salvation, time is of the essence. And so as we read what Moses has to say about time here, we learn the principle of recognizing the time. Recognize that now is the time to obey the Lord. But secondly, we learn the principle not only of recognizing the time, but also of redeeming the time. Verse 12 of Psalm 90. Moses says there, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I don't know how many millions, perhaps even billions of dollars are spent and made each year on the sale of clocks and watches. And especially this time of year, you go down to the Office Depot like I do every year and you buy a little planner, maybe one for your desk and another for your pocket. People buy computer programs that are planners or have planners with them. Why? Because we recognize that if we can plan our days out, we can get more done if we organize our time and not squander time. Moses here says, Lord, teach us to number our days. You know what he's saying there? He is saying that we ought to learn how to use our time wisely. To realize that our days are numbered. The day is coming when our time is up. And while we're still here, and while we still have opportunity, we ought to use that time in service to God. In Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, also Colossians 4, 5, Paul uses the phrase, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So much needs to be done. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, while you have opportunity, do good. Do not grow weary. And really from the Greek there, it means while you're still alive, while you still have the opportunity and you're able to do good, do it. Don't squander your time. So many good works we should be doing. I'll do it later. I'm too busy right now. Do we take the time to study the Word of God daily? Acts 17, verse 11. Hebrews 5, 14. Those people obviously had not redeemed the time to study the Word of God. And the Hebrew writer told them, you ought to be teachers. And yet you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. It takes time to learn and grow in the Word of God. We set aside time for so many other things throughout our day. What about planning time on a daily basis to study the Word of God? How about setting aside specific times to pray, like Daniel did, remember? 3 times a day. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, to pray without ceasing. That means you have a regular habit of praying. You have a custom, as it was said of Daniel, as was his custom. Do we set aside times to devote ourselves to God in prayer? Thanking Him for His blessings. Petitioning Him for the things that we need. Going to Him on behalf of others. All we need to redeem the time and pray. You know, I think about those who are erring brethren. We speak of them, we speak about them, sometimes negatively to others. We want them to come back to the Lord. We pray for that. These are good. But do we ever take the time to go and speak to that erring brother? Call them on the phone. Encourage them to come back to the Lord. Just a few moments of time, and yet it can mean an eternity for him. If anyone is carried away in any sin, you who are spiritual, go to such a one. In a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Galatians 6, verse 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul speaks there, and I've lost my place here. Paul speaks there about admonishing him as a brother. Do we do that? Send him a card? Call him on the phone? Encourage him to come back to the Lord. James tells us in James, the 5th chapter, in verses 19 and 20. And speaking of those who take the time to admonish an erring brother, Rather, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Take the time to try and save a soul from death. Redeeming the time. I was thinking a few moments ago about the command Paul gave to fathers in Ephesians 6 in the first few verses to train up your children, the teaching and admonition of the Lord. You know, that takes time and planning and devotion on the part of a father who's busy with his work and busy with other things. To sit down and plan that out and to take the time to teach their children on a daily basis from the Word of God. Teach them to pray. Teach them to devote their life to the Lord. It takes time, sacrifice. But it's a command of the Lord. And it will mean so much for those children. Mean the saving of their souls. And so Moses speaks to us about time. And he says we ought to be recognizing the time. He says that we ought to be redeeming the time. And then finally this morning, Moses speaks to us about the concept of rejoicing through time. Verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Rejoice all our days through time. Rejoicing through time. He speaks of mercy here. Bring it early. You know, Israelites often prayed for the coming of the chosen one. They greatly anticipated the Messiah, the Christ, to come into the world as was promised by the prophets. And prayers were often made that that time would come. And through the cross and through Christ, God showed to us His mercy. And He offered us salvation. And without that great sacrifice of love, we could never have that mercy. We could never have that grace. We could never have salvation. But now Christ is come. We often sing the song, "Joy to the World, Joy to the World, the Lord is come." That's based upon Scripture, isn't it? From Luke's account, chapter 2. Those shepherds rejoiced at the hearing of the birth of the coming one. There was even joy in heaven. We rejoice because Christ came and because Christ died on the cross for our sins. And when we take the opportunity to obey the gospel and have our sins washed away, we have every cause for rejoicing through time. Remember the eunuch in Acts chapter 8 when he went on his way rejoicing? Many spend their days in worry, in anxiety, in fear over this, that, and the other. Some trivial things, others may be larger issues in our life. Certainly there are those. But we offer to those things, even the large issues, too much worry and too much anxiety. You ever hear the phrase, "Do your best and leave the rest"? Well, let's bring that phrase into biblical teaching. You do what you can and pray to God for the rest. Ask God to help you. People say, put it in the Lord's hands. If we could really do that, we could rejoice through time. Rejoicing is not laughing, giddy irresponsibility. Rejoicing is a frame of mind. It's a condition of the heart. Deep down inside us, we're rejoicing. Even in times of bereavement, there's cause for rejoicing deep inside us because of the hope we have in Jesus Christ, because of the mercy that Moses speaks of here, that God has offered us through Christ. Rejoicing because no matter what happens, and one of my most favorite passages, I guess it's many people's, is the last few verses of Romans chapter 8 when Paul speaks of the great love of God. And he says in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" These are some horrible things Paul lists here. Can they separate us from the love of Christ? Paul says, "As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter." And then he gives the answer, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded," Paul says, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We can always rejoice in the love of God. And nothing that can happen to us in this life, on this earth, can separate us from God's love. Paul spoke to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1 and said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. You know that's a commandment? Paul tells them to do that. Over in chapter 4, again in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord." And watch this. "Always rejoicing through time." And then Paul says, "And again I say, rejoice." And who has better cause for rejoicing than those of us who are saved in Christ? Those who have been redeemed from their sins. Those who have experienced the grace of God and His great mercy. We look into the world and we see people who seem happy on the outside. But deep inside, there's no true happiness. There's nothing there that's really lasting. Not until you found Christ and obeyed Him and His gospel. And so Moses speaks to us about time. He speaks about recognizing the time. God has made the provision through Christ. You need to recognize that now is the time to obey. He speaks of redeeming the time. As a child of God, use your time wisely in service of the Lord. Don't squander it. And then he speaks of rejoicing through time. Don't give undue attention to anxiety and fears and worries. As Paul said in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Is it coincidence, you think, that Paul wrote those words immediately after he gave the command, "Rejoice in the Lord always"? And again I say, rejoice. How do we use our time? Let's learn the lessons that Moses has for us here in Psalm 90. Let's pray.